Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last weekend, Jamie and I had the opportunity to go to Busch Stadium. They were hosting the Kenny Chesney concert. Phenomenal seeing Busch Stadium packed like that with over 60,000 people there for the concert. But for me, the highlight of the concert wasn't Kenny Chesney, the guy whose name was on the tour. It was actually Thomas Rhett, who was one of the guys who played just before Kenny Chesney came on. And my humble opinion, he stole the show. But there was this one song that he sang called Life Changes. And I want to talk about that in relation to how we interact with God and the changes of our lives today. Because in this song, what he does is he sings about one of these great constants that all of us, regardless of our age, our race, our ethnicity, whatever our background, one constant that we all share in this life. No matter if we're sitting here today at 1 year old or at 100. And so that very first constant, the thing that doesn't change for all of us, is that life changes. That's the experience that we have. No matter how happy we might be with how things are going for us right now in this moment, or how unhappy we might be, tomorrow things will change. We're born into this world, and we're taken care of by parents, our grandparents, by responsible adults who do so much more for us than we realize until usually after we get out of the house. And it's when we begin to forge our own homes that we look back and we realize how much our parents really did do for us. We get out and maybe get your first apartment or your first home, and you realize the fridge doesn't magically fill up on its own. You have to go out and go to the grocery store and buy the things, and then just as bad, not only does the fridge not magically fill up, the food doesn't magically cook itself. You have to learn how to do that for yourself. You got to pay the bills. You got to service your cars. As we grow, and as we grow from just little kids into adulthood, we see just this incredible change in our lives as we begin to worry about those millions of little things that our parents worried about that we never gave a second's thought to. And many of us, as we get older, we find someone we want to spend the rest of our lives with. We get married. And many of us after that, we wind up with kids of our own. And then we watch them grow just as our parents watched us grow. And that cycle of life changing repeats again and again and again. So in this song, Life Changes, Thomas Rhett shares a little bit of his own life story and how he has seen his life change throughout the years. Shares a little bit about how he and his wife got married, and he had met his wife all the way back in first grade. He'd known her for years. He got to marry his best friend. In another part of the song, he shares how he and his wife were struggling to get pregnant, and so they decided that they were going to adopt, and they had gone over to Uganda to meet this little girl that they were going to bring into their home, to welcome home as their daughter. And as they were making their way back to the States with this little girl, now their new daughter, they heard the news that his wife was pregnant, against all odds. And so now they'd be welcoming not one little girl into their home, but two at about the same time. There's this ending of the chorus where he sings, "You never know what's going to happen. You make your plans, and you hear God laughing." And I like that line. I don't think God laughs derisively at our plans, but there is some truth to that. We make our plans, and we hear God laughing. God has a very different perspective on our lives and the direction that our lives will take than we ever could, living down here in the midst of them. God stands outside all of this, and he knows what's going to happen in the plans that he has for us. And so often what our experience is that the plans that we have are plans for tomorrow or next month or next year or the next decade. We look back on those years later and we see just how different God's plans were than our own when we were there in the midst of that moment. If I have one critique of the song, it's this. The very last line in the chorus, he sings, "Life changes, and I wouldn't change it for the world." My one critique of that song is that it's just far too positive It doesn't work in real life. I mean, I think it works in, you know, maybe small segments. Because I'm sure we share that sentiment. Life changes and you wouldn't change it for the world. I'm sure there are some things that happen as the changes in your life occur where you sit there and you think, wow, this wasn't what I expected, but it's great. I wouldn't change this for anything. But I'm sure you've also had the perspective on the opposite side, where life changes and you would give anything to change it back, even if just for a moment. And so if I had any critique of Thomas Rhett's song, it's that it's not exactly true to life. That while, yes, there are sometimes life changes and we wouldn't change it for the world, there are plenty of other times in our lives, whether it's sickness or the death of someone we love, or some sin that we commit in a moment just where we're not thinking, and then we deal with the consequences and we wish we could take it back. There are other times where life changes and we would give anything to change it. And sometimes it's not even the negative things that bring that out. Sometimes it's just the fact that life is changing and we want to hold on to what we've got right now, to what we know right now. And I think this is that experience that every parent, at least every parent I've talked to, has as they watch their kids grow up. Your kids grow up, they're born, and they're completely dependent on you for everything. But as they get older, they're able to do more things, which is good on the one hand. But on the other hand, as a parent, we find ourselves looking back thinking, I wish I could go back and have a little more of what I had back then. This happened to me this week, just kind of out of the blue. We were getting ready to go off to send the kids to summer camp in the morning, and we were getting ready, getting everybody breakfast. And Kenzie came downstairs, and Jamie and I were fixing everybody's lunch. And she told us that she wanted scrambled eggs, and she was going to make them. And she did the whole thing. And that's great. It was one less thing off my to-do list that morning. But on the flip side, man, I've been making you breakfast for 9 years, and now you can do it on your own? It hurts a little. And we have this experience in different ways throughout our lives as we grow up. You know, we're having a great time in high school, and we know the end is approaching, and we're going to have to make some decisions about where to go to school, whether we're going to school, what we want to do with our lives. And so often, the experience of us in high school, we kind of stick our heads in the sand, maybe just for a little bit, and we try not to think about it, because we can't imagine saying goodbye to our friends. We have this experience as adults, too, in a million different ways. Sometimes it's not even a negative change that happens in life, where we wind up wishing that life wouldn't change or that we could change it back. But the real question is, how do we deal with those changes in life? Because it is a constant. No matter how much we might wish it were otherwise, life will change. And so if you're sitting here enjoying everything about your life right now, maybe that's bad news, because there's no guarantee that that will continue tomorrow. On the flip side, if you're sitting here thinking you can't stand this place that you're in right now, that can be good news. Because tomorrow, life will change. And there can be positive things on the horizon too. Things that maybe you don't even realize. Paul actually gives us some advice and encouragement on how to deal with this great constant in our life. That no matter what we do, no matter what we think, life will change. He gives it to us in our epistle reading for today, and I want to read again what he writes here. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So when life changes and you would do anything to change it back, there's really only one thing you can do. There's really only one thing that you can do that will make any difference. And this is what Paul talks about here in our epistle reading today in Ephesians 3. And that's to hold on to the second great constant in everyone's life. You know, the first great constant, as I mentioned, is that life changes no matter what we might think or what we might want. Life will change around you. But the second great constant, is that while, yes, life will change, there is one thing that will never change and can never change, and that is God's love for you in Christ Jesus. That is what Paul points to here in our epistle reading for today. And just like that great truth, that great constant, that life changes, and that's something we experience whether it, regardless of our age, race, or nationality, that second great constant remains true regardless of our age, our race, our ethnicity, anything else, that God loves you in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so you look again at our epistle reading for today, it begins with this hanging clause where Paul writes, for this reason, and then he goes on to explain what he's saying about Christ's love for us. But he says, for this reason, and anytime you open up the Bible and you begin reading a chapter and it begins this way, with like a therefore or for this reason, it should cause you to wonder, at least for a moment, what is that reason that Paul is talking about? And when you back up a few verses, you realize the context. What Paul's actually doing is he's writing to a group of people in Ephesus, a group of Christians, who are struggling with this truth that life changes, not struggling with it in their own lives. You know, their own lives are changing. What they're struggling with is the fact that Paul's life has changed. And they're worried about what that means for him. He says in the verse right before this reading for today, he says, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. You back up a little further, and what you find is that Paul's life has changed drastically from when he first met those Christians in Ephesus to this point when he's writing the letter. See, when he first met those Christians in Ephesus, he had traveled there himself as a free man, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping to set this church up. But now he's writing to this group of Christians as a prisoner in Rome. His life circumstances have changed, and they, in no one's opinion, would you say that they have changed for the better. So because this group of Christians, they're concerned about him. They're worried about his life changes and what's going on with him. And what's remarkable is you read through Ephesians and Paul's other letters that he writes from prison. You can't help but catch the sense that Paul isn't all that concerned about that drastic change in his life. Now, I'm sure if he had it another way, he would, if he had his choice being a free man or being in prison, he would take freedom. But at the end of the day, even in the midst of that very negative change in his life, he's at peace because he knows this second great constant, that whether he's a free man or whether he's in prison, whether he's hungry or well-fed, whether things are going well or he's suffering, regardless of what the circumstance of his life may be in any given moment, he's at peace because he knows this great constant. That no matter what his situation is, it doesn't change God's love for him in Christ. And so as Paul is writing this passage in Ephesians, it's really his prayer that these people he's writing to, that they would know this for him and that they would know this for himself. That when they're in the midst of their life and things change for the worse, that they would hold on to this truth. No matter how bad things get, or how bleak life may seem in any given moment, nothing changes that great truth of the love of God in Christ for them. So here's a silly question to ask on a Sunday morning in a church. Does God love you? Okay, hopefully it's a yes. Yeah, it's a silly question because we're all sitting here, Christians in a house of worship. Yes, God loves you. Now, that might be an easy question to answer that way here. It might be an easy question to answer when your life is going well. But when life changes and it doesn't change for the better, that question, God loves you, does God love you, becomes a lot more difficult to answer. And when that question becomes difficult, a second question becomes just as important. How do you know God loves you? You know God loves you because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross. And there are scripture passages that you can point to that highlight that truth. And it's my prayer, if you don't have one of these passages readily available to you, to your memory, that you commit one of them to memory. One of them is the famous John 3:16. And so if you ever catch yourself in a moment when life changes for the worse, wondering, does God love me? How do I know God loves me? It's my prayer that you would remember this. From John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And there are a million other passages like that that speak to God's grace and his unchanging love in Christ. There's another great passage that Paul writes from Romans, where he tells us that while we were still sinners, arguably in the worst moments of our lives, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And a few short verses after he says that, he says, while we were still enemies of God, God was sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. So God looks on the horrible mess that we so often make of this world, whether it's because of our own sin or the sin of others, or just the brokenness in this world. God looks on this mess and loves us. God looks on you in the worst moments of your life and says, I love you. I forgive you. God looks on your enemy in the worst moment in their life and says the same thing. I love you. I forgive you. So it's my prayer that you would know these two great constants today. Yes, life changes. There is nothing you can do about that. But more importantly than that, yes, life changes. But there is one thing in your life that will never change. And that makes all the difference. God's love for you in Christ Jesus. It's in that way we can say life changes, and we wouldn't change it for the world. In Jesus' name, amen.